Welcome to the XYZ Experiment podcast. Today, it's Luke, Dash and myself, Fiona, and we're going to talk about an experience that I had last night going out to dinner. So we've got some friends staying with us for a few weeks, and one of the things that they always do whenever they come to Melbourne is they must go to Chin Chin, the restaurant. You guys all know Chin Chin, yeah. Don't you? So Chin Chin, we're not advertising or sponsored by them. We went to this fabulous meal there, and there were six of us, and we decided to have what they call a feed me menu. And there's a few things I sort of want to chat about that happened during the night that I thought... I actually thought about it quite a bit afterwards, and when we got out of the restaurant, I was having a conversation with the group of people that I was with. We chose our Feed Me menu, and there's a few issues around that, which I'll talk later on about. We had the meal, and the meal was really, really fabulous, and we get to the end, and I'm saying to everybody, okay, I'll pay the bill, we'll divvy it up, you can all, you know, put money into my account, and you're all going to give a tip. Because the service was superb. It was really friendly. The man that was helping us couldn't have helped us enough. He kept coming up. And I know they're trying to sell drinks and all that, but it didn't feel like that to me. It felt more like he was just checking that we were having a good time. At the end, all our plates are cleared up and another waiter comes up to us and I say to her, oh, can you grab the bill for us and I'll pay at the table? And she's like, yep. So she goes, gets the bill. We had the tip in. And as we're leaving, I spy him a little distance away from us. So I make a beeline for him to say, oh, thank you very much. It was a really nice evening. Thanks to you. And he doesn't know I've tipped. He has no idea I've tipped. Anyway, he turns around and he actually puts his hand on my shoulder and he goes, thank you for being so kind to me tonight. I really appreciate it. And wow. I knew in that moment that he wasn't saying because of the tip. He was saying it because we treated him like a real person.
Wow.
And we really interacted with him and we respected him. So we get upstairs and we're on the pavement and I stopped our group because we were all going our separate ways and said, hey, you know what the waiter just said to me? And told them what he just said. And then I was going, is everybody, like, are people not polite to their service people? Like, that really shocked me. He actually said that because he was saying that, I got the feeling he was saying, thank you for respecting me. Thank you for being kind to me. Thank you for listening to me. And I thought, well, wouldn't you normally do that? And so have we got a problem in the service industry, how we treat our service people?
I think so. And I can understand where he's coming from. And I think you'd be surprised as someone that obviously spends a lot of time when I'm at restaurants with my parents, because I don't really go with my friends per se that often, just us to like formal dinner settings. I can see, not to name and shame anyone, but I can see a lot of different dynamics between different people and like wait staff, based on what I imagine is their perception of the service itself. So a lot of people, I guess, would think that how your waiter was acting to you is just expected. They should be catering to you. They should be wanting to make sure that you're having the best experience possible. They should be going out of their way to be flexible, to make sure that they're working around you. And as a result, if they're doing it right, then they don't deserve praise. They just don't deserve complaints. Doesn't warrant any like negative consequence. Whereas I think, as a considerate group ourselves, but generally speaking, when someone acts like that normally, you would actually go out of your way to say, acknowledge that behavior. But you'd be surprised. I've got a lot of friends that are in that industry, and they say very similar things where as soon as someone steps foot into a restaurant, and as soon as you're wearing a uniform, it completely changes the way they communicate with you.
Wow. So do you feel like we don't see people well in uniform anymore? Like you said the line, we treated him like with respect and dignity and as a human. Do you think that maybe society has moved to, you're here to serve me, if you're wearing a uniform I don't need to necessarily acknowledge or engage with you as much?
I'm not sure, because I had another experience only a couple of weeks ago, and I thought I talked this off mic with you guys a few weeks ago, that I had gone into David Jones, and it was a Friday night, and I was buying something, and I was talking to the woman across the counter as I was buying it, you know, how's your night going? And she's going, oh, good, and blah, blah, blah. And then she made some comment about that it was nice that we were having this interaction. I can't remember exactly what she said at the time. And I said, aren't most people, you know, pleasant to you? And she goes, no, most people are really awful.
Wow.
And that made me think, oh, wow, like, really? Because I don't,
Like, I'm not going out to be special to them. I'm just treating them like a normal...
You just chat. I mean, you're just a chatter.
Yeah, I know, but it's just, thank you, can you help me, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just saying those little graces. Have people forgotten that, to say those little graces? And is that a Gen X thing? I've got to say, I don't know, is it? I'm just wondering, is that a Fiona thing or is that a generation thing or...?
I think going back to what you were saying about generational or not, potentially there is that... that expectation that comes with receiving a service where it's like, this is given, so therefore if you can't do it, that's an issue. But I also wonder whether or not it's a needs thing where people are coming in and they're high strung for whatever reason, they've got things on their mind, and they're essentially kind of under the perception that because these people have to cater towards me, I can basically act in whatever way I need to right now. I can let my worst version of myself come out. I can let the stress and the anger out, and they kind of have to deal with it because that's their role. They're being paid to deal with situations like this.
It's got to be difficult because I think, you know, to get to the end of your work shift, because you're working there, sometimes you must feel a bit miserable about some of the interactions 100%. You've had, you know, and it's a meal. It's not as if they're trying to save a life or, you know what I mean? Like...
Well, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation, is our frontline health services staff and how they get treated. Yeah. But I just wanted to share a story. Like, I worked in the Coles Deli for 4 years, and I know it's not the same, but I would often...
it's a service industry.
It's a service industry, and I would often work Saturday nights or Friday nights because I had no life, and Sunday mornings very early I'd open. And sometimes I'd be the only one there and you'd get like all these customers and you'd be running around and trying to serve them as fast as you possibly could. And I remember there was this one instance where I'd served a man, given him all of his order, said, you know, thank you, here you go. Yeah. And because you're, like, you're behind a counter and I'm pretty short, so you can't really, I don't think he heard me, but he made a point of coming back and he said to me, you didn't say thank you to me.
Really?
Yeah. And I said, I served you though, so shouldn't you say thank you to me?
Wow.
Wow.
How old were you?
I was 18.
What did he say to that?
And he was, and then I said to him as well, I said, and I did say thank you, you may not have heard it.
Wow.
And he just walked off. But I was just like, I'm sorry, I have just served you. I have served you. I have a whole pile of customers who are waiting and they all heard it. Why am I saying thank you to you?
Yeah. Wow.
And it was just weird. Like I often felt like I got kind of that kind of interaction with people.
Do you think there was anything to do with race in
that? Oh, I know. I feel like there was,
to
be honest.
I'm looking at you thinking, did it have anything to do with that?
I do. I was the only brown girl in that deli.
Yeah.
And I just think... I doubt that would have happened to any of my other deli buddies. But it made me feel awful. Yeah. Like that kind of, and I often would come back from the end of a shift just feeling so drained by people and their, like I had like, I remember once I was there by myself on Christmas Eve and I had a couple come and they wanted to hand pick their tiger prawns.
Okay.
And they were ordering 2 kilos of tiger prawns and they wanted to hand pick every single one of them. And I was just like, we're about to close. I'm just like, you can't handpick these.
Did they say thank you at the end?
They did, and they were very apologetic, but I was still like, well, this is not a reasonable demand. I wanted to go back because you mentioned the Feed Me menus.
Yes, yes.
And you said...
there was four choices.
There were four choices.
So at this restaurant, if you have six or more, you have to go by one of their set menus.
Yeah.
And you can, there's four set menus that are there and they have different price points, which I think is fabulous because you can choose your price point and it goes up from high to low. So we sort of haggled with amongst the six of us which one we were going to go for, right? And my husband doesn't like seafood very much. There's a lot of seafood on the menus. So we set on a, so there was four levels. We went the second level because we thought, that's enough for us, and they were very generous with the food. But what was really fabulous about it is, first of all, we said to them, oh, look, one of our people doesn't really like seafood. They could not have worked hard enough to give him alternatives. Like,
yeah,
they were fabulous. And we're all looking at his food going, oh, wow. yeah, as his alternatives. He was so happy, which was good, because I'll go to that in a moment about why it was good to make my hubby happy with that. And then the second thing is what I didn't know was that if you can, you do the feed me, but then if there's a specific dish that you're really in love with, they let you add it to it.
Yeah.
You pay a little bit extra for that. But that was fabulous.
Yeah.
We could add to it, which I really like the flexibility, you know, to be able to do that. The reason why I say about my hubby is that they were fabulous that they do that is so my hubby, he's late Gen X, like he's almost a boomer, and he does not like going out and spending money on a fancy meal. He just doesn't. And like I'll actually tell you a saying that he says. So he'll say to me, why should we go out and spend $100 or $200 on a meal that is literally going to leave my body tomorrow? That's what he says.
I don't want to think about that.
He says it in another way. but that's what he says. And so so when we went out to the meal last night, it's not even tight with money. He's not tight with money in any way. He just doesn't put as much value on food that way. Like he goes to me, oh, you're a fabulous cook. You can cook this. But yeah. I can't cook this food. I really can't. And I can't get all the ingredients and do it like they do. But the fact that we went out, we spent this money, he got exactly what he wanted. He actually had a fabulous time. Like it was really nice that he felt that was real value for money for him, you know, and there was no question about, wow, we spent this amount of money on a meal.
Mm.
He was like, oh, that was really great. Like I really enjoyed that. So, but would you guys, like, so because of that, Miladin and I rarely go out to expensive meals. Like we do a lot of, like, I would call really mid to low tier meals. We do a lot of, cheap Italian and cheap Asian. And, you know, we might spend, for us, an expensive meal for two of us would be about $60.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We would never spend $300, say, on a meal as a regular. But what do you guys do?
I just wanted to add just, going back to what you were saying, Miladin's philosophy on eating out, I can relate to that a little bit as well before I even talk about generational preference, because I think there is that saying where it's like you either eat to live or like live to eat.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that's if true, you don't actually really see kind of like maybe I haven't developed good taste, like advanced taste buds yet where like I could eat really nice food and make that distinction. But if that's you, or like you don't really necessarily get much from the experience of eating out and being waited on, I could understand why paying for not only kind of meals and the experience isn't that valued.
Mm.
But generally speaking, for me in my generation, it's kind of hard for me to say because I'm not really at a point in terms of making enough income where like I can sustainably eat out that much.
Yeah. Mm.
But even so, I guess coming from like the convenience generation, things like Uber Eats and takeaway just being so accessible, that's probably normally my food investment as opposed to going out and eating. And because I think with a lot of my friends, it's more the communal aspect than the actual experience of going to a nice place. A lot of the time, if we're going to do anything social that involves food, it's actually like cooking at home and like inviting people over for dinners.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we came from WA. And the huge difference I noticed between WA and Melbourne is in WA, you actually, well, we didn't, you don't go out much. Everyone comes to your house.
Yeah.
And like I used to cook heaps of meals. I have all this sort of set up in my, you know, drawers now that we would have to cater for people coming over to eat. But in Melbourne, the culture is eating out eating at people's houses. But I think he's still very much got that mindset about, well, why don't we get them to come over our place, you know? I mean, Miladin, he won't mind me saying this. The other thing is he thinks you're a really good person if you understand that breakfast can be dinner. Like toast or cereal can be dinner. You're his type of person.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, we'll often have toast for dinner. You know what I mean? It's just
facts.
Yeah.
I had cereal last night for dinner.
Oh, no, you're his person. You are his person, Luke.
It's really interesting because I remember during my 20s, probably similar, Luke, you know, Scott and I were PhD students at the same time. We weren't earning a lot. And I think when you're studying, it is hard. And so we probably cooked at home a lot more, or if we did eat out, it was take out, or we'd go to like dumplings or, you know, that kind of stuff. But we would have people over and cook with them. I think since moving closer to the city, we do eat out a lot. But interestingly, I prefer higher end restaurants to Scott. And I think it's because Scott's vegetarian and he probably prefers the mid-tier. Like, he loves a good pizza and a good, you know, pasta, or, you know, that kind of stuff. And anything that's overly fancy, or the dish is a little bit too high-end, where you're looking at it and thinking, what the heck is half these ingredients that are in there, and you're Googling it. Whereas I love that. And so I often go out more with my friends to high-end restaurants than I do with Scott, only for if it's our wedding anniversary or something special, we'd go out together. And he'll go out with his friends to restaurants, but they go to the same restaurants.
Yeah.
They don't change it up. Whereas in my friends and I are like, oh, we want to try this new restaurant, or we want to try this new restaurant. And, you know, one of my good friends is a chef, or was a chef, and so she really enjoys the thought of going out and trying new food and all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I feel very lucky. But I think through COVID, because we got into the habit, and I loved it because Chin Chin did do, you could order from them, whereas in you can't now. Yeah. I would love getting takeout in and then having a glass of wine at home from a winery that we really love. And so we probably tend to do that a bit more these days than going out. But can I just say something else about the Feed Me menus, right? Yeah. I prefer to choose my own menu.
Yeah.
Whereas in whenever Scott goes out, or, you know, some of my friends, they just don't like the decision fatigue of having to think about the menu. So they'd rather do the Feed Me menu. So I think that's the other element of the Feed Me's, is to kind of just be like, just feed me. Like, I don't want to think about.
Mm.
Whereas in, I would have looked up the menu a few times before coming to the restaurant. I would have shortlisted the dishes I want to eat. Then I'd cross-check that with my friends when we're there. We would work out then the menu that we would like.
I think, like, no, I do think people like that, because two of our friends, they actually had pre-looked at the menu.
Yeah.
And so they had told me about the different levels before I'd even got there. And they're making decisions based on, oh, I like that dish and I like that dish and let's do that one. And
yeah.
Do you know what we thought was really good about the Feed Me? Because, you know, this restaurant's been there for over 10 years. I've been a few times over the years. We would have gone for the same dishes. We would have. We would have gone for our favourites, right? Whereas by going by the Feed Me, the first dish is all one of our favourite dishes, which is this kingfish sashimi, which is incredible. But the rest I've never had before. I never had any of those dishes before. And it was actually thrilling to try something different. And we were talking about it. We were just going, wow, we never would have ordered this. And this is delicious. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was really nice to be surprised by each of the dishes and eating them and going, wow. Like, I feel like that added to the evening and maybe made it worth what we paid, because we were being surprised with each dish that came out and having really different tastes, and it wasn't our normal experience. So that was fun. That was really fun. But when they said, do you want to add to it, we added two of our favourite dishes.
Yeah.
Of course.
I wanted to ask, Dash, first of all, before I even ask this question, kingfish sashimi, right before I left to come here, my sister, I think it was actually for my mum's birthday, my sister took us all out to this Japanese restaurant, and she was like, I'm picking what we're eating. And she picked that, and it was one of the best culinary experiences I've ever had.
It's amazing.
But touching on that, because, Fee, I feel the same way about the idea of going somewhere, if I am going to go out, is trying something new and that experience. Dash, when you were mentioning, because I actually have a lot of friends that do the same thing when they've decided they're going to go out, they pre-look at the menu to almost choose what they're going to eat. Is that like meant to replicate the experience of being like, okay, I'm eating at home, what am I going to have for dinner? Or is it because it's like, okay, this is like an event, I'm going out, I need to make sure I pick the right choice, like, of what I'm going to invest in when I go and buy it?
So, I mean, there's a process that happens, like, particularly with certain groups of my friends who are foodies and love that kind of stuff. We will firstly shortlist the restaurant based on their menu. So is there enough on the menu that we are excited about that we then want to go? So, you know, it's often like, okay, if we're going to invest time and energy to put on proper clothes and go out and get, you know, dolled up to go to a restaurant. It we do treat it a bit like an event, although to be fair, the last time I went out I did wear practically tracksuit pants, but they were fancy ones, so I think I got away with it. Anyway, and so we pick the restaurant based on that, and then when we are going through it, it is to kind of be like, well, what are the dishes that excite us? So it's not necessarily, and often, I think we were talking about this earlier off mic, it's often the dishes I would never be able to cook myself. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, you're kind of fascinated, like, what the heck is this? And what is this going to taste like? But looking at the ingredients, it looks amazing. So that is kind of how we come to those decisions. And I love trying different cuisines, as and Melbourne's very lucky that way. And actually one of my favourite restaurants is one that Fiona introduced me to, Sarai, the Filipino restaurant. That was incredible. And I've been back a few times since then and taken people.
It's the atmosphere too.
It's the atmosphere. Yeah. It's and the staff there, again, incredible service that you get. And I think it just all adds up. What I don't like is if I go somewhere and the food is a bit meh and the service is a bit meh, but you still pay a lot for that. And so then I get a bit annoyed when that happens.
Can I tell a story about that restaurant? You know, because you were there. We often in Melbourne, you know, they have the timing that you have to be out by a certain time when you make the booking, so they can do a double, you know, a double service, of course, because they've got to try and make money. I understand.
Yeah, totally.
And we went to this restaurant together, Dash, myself and a few friends, and actually Sarah, who's on this podcast.
Yeah.
And we were having a fabulous time.
And one of our friends had just come back from Singapore.
Yeah. Oh, who's been on our podcast, yeah. Emma. Yeah. So we were all catching up at this restaurant and we were told we had to be out by 9 o'clock, I think. And then 9 came and they left us and they brought in more tables, but we weren't moved at all, and they didn't make any attempt to move us or anything. We were there till quite late, maybe 10:30 afterwards. We were there for hours anyway. So at the end I go to pay the bill and I say to the man, oh, thank you very much for letting us stay. And he said to me, oh, we saw you in your group and we could see you were having such a great time. We just didn't want to shift you. And he goes, so we did all that we could to move people around to keep you where you were. And I was just going, oh, that's a real... And he goes, we could see you were having a really great catch up. He goes, we just didn't want to shift you. How lovely is that? But there's more to that story because it's about community, because he said to me, because it's very close to my house, he said to me, oh, I actually know you. And I went, what? Because I was thinking, how do I know him? And he goes, we see you all the time walking your dog. Because we walk past it all the time. And he goes, oh, I've patted your dog a few times and all that. So he obviously felt a little bit of a connection to me as well.
Yeah.
But that's just fabulous sort of stuff. You know
what
I mean?
And that's why you keep going back, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
That is literally why you keep going back. And I remember that night because, you know, I'm gluten-free and I remember how much they went bent over backwards to cater for the fact that I'm gluten-free, kept checking with the chef, like, you know, really very careful about what they brought out and suggested that I could eat. And I was so appreciative of that.
It's just, I don't know. I never really thought about something you said earlier, Luke. I never thought about that I'm paying for a service, to be honest. I just think all the money goes on the food. I forgot about some of that actually goes to the poor people who are looking after me, you know. But it's, yeah. Do you tip often?
Mm.
I just wonder too, because I don't know what the etiquette is around tipping and all that sort of stuff, but last night we had such a great time. I actually said to the other 5 people, we are tipping tonight. Like, we are tipping. And they went, oh, okay. Like, it's just because I thought they were so good.
Yeah, we probably don't tip as much as we should, like in amount, but we tend to round up. Okay. So per head, we tend to then round up as our tipping point, kind of point. But yeah, I think it's interesting because Australia doesn't have necessarily a tipping culture.
Yeah, we don't have that culture.
But our service industry apparently, I don't know if it's true, but apparently get paid a reasonable wage. Yep. Whereas when I have gone to America, I do know you really do have to tip over there because that literally is how they are earning money.
But I suppose tipping, like for you, Luke, you wouldn't be going to a restaurant where you'd normally tip, I imagine, at this stage in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I genuinely cannot think of a time in maybe the last couple months where I've gone out to a restaurant that has service, like table service in a sense.
Yeah.
Mm. So, but in terms of would I tip? Yeah, I think it's a really interesting concept, the idea of, because then again, it's that idea of like, as I was saying before, I think there's, for certain people, expectation that the people are going to wait on them. That's what they're paying for, that experience. And so then I guess if you don't see it like that and you do see it as them going above and beyond to helping you, does that then warrant a tip?
Mm.
Mm.
Yes, is what I would say.
Yeah.
Yes, but I have not done it in a very long time because, yes, I don't really go. I can't even afford to eat the food, pay for the food, let alone
tip.
Yeah.
And I think that's fair. And I think I don't tip at particular restaurants because I know that's not the culture of that restaurant. Whereas in, I think when I'm eating out, and it's really only something I've done as I've gotten older. Like, it's not like this has been something my whole life I've been able to do. And a lot of it is also when we're hosting other academics and stuff like that. But the other story I wanted to share where, again, it's that notion of going above and beyond. Maha is another restaurant we would go to quite often. And it was my mum's, a significant milestone birthday for my mum, but my dad had just had surgery. And so I remember ringing the restaurant beforehand and said, can you seat us at a table where, you know, my dad's just had surgery. I just need him to be in a place that's comfortable, like sitting on a proper chair. Because sometimes you get sat on like a stool or something and it's like, you know, for someone who might be a little bit older, that's not always comfortable. God, I don't find the stools comfortable. Mm. That's another story. And they were so amazing. Like, it was like the staff had had a briefing session before.
They probably did.
And so they knew it was my mum's birthday. They knew that my dad had had surgery. They checked in on him a few times. They checked in with me as the person who'd booked the dinner. Is everything going on? Like, going okay? And I was like, oh, wow. Like, that attention to detail.
Is
above and beyond. So then we tipped.
Yeah. For sure. Above and beyond. But I never thought about that's an expectation with the meal. I just never thought about that. I always feel it's above and beyond, you know. Yeah.
But going, just like trying to unpack the idea of having expectations in that experience, I suppose, then that's probably what changes for us, because we might be going in thinking, cool, we're going to have a really nice meal, connect with our friends again, and have some meet some nice people who will provide that service. But for some people, the actual service itself is on par with the food. It's not just they're going out to eat. They're going out because they're like, for whatever reason, they need that communication and they need someone to wait on them and care about them and care for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when you put that weight on it, that's probably what leads to people then being a lot more unsatisfied when things don't go their way.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
I do also just want to add, when I do pick restaurants, sometimes I do think about how noisy they are and how crowded they are.
Yeah.
Because I actually, even if it's fabulous, sometimes I don't find that as fun if I can't hear, you know, like you're going out because you want to catch up with people, but if I can't hear you and have a proper conversation, and it's not uncommon that Scott and I are the ones in the restaurant who are like, can you turn the music down?
Oh, you're hilarious. You're the boomer.
Yeah. Can't hear. And then the other one is like the lighting. So I went to a restaurant recently and we all had a phone to kind of read the menu because the lighting was beautiful but not light enough that we could read it. And the owner of the restaurant came and said, yeah, we did choose beauty over functionality.
I can't tell you how many times I pulled out my phone.
I'm like, oh my gosh, are we going blind? Is this what happens in your 40s?
It is. People Sorry, are like, it's all downhill.
Trying to appreciate the ambience of the setting, and then they turn and there's this giant lamp at the table next to them.
I know, we lit up the restaurant with our mobile phones.
Hey guys, it's Luke here. Thanks so much for listening to the XYZ Experiment podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a like, follow, and tell your friends and family about us.